Kei te whakarongo koe ki te reo irirangi pō, he parakuihi tēnei. Ko Rosetta rawa ko Millie Maua. You're on 95BFM Breakfast with Rosetta and Millie. This is exciting. We're going to listen to a kōrero that I had with Kelly Moran, who is a really amazing artist, composer, pianist, producer, constructing these incredible bodies of work at the crossroads of ambient, electronica, classical piano, sound art. It's really quite incredible stuff. It's incredibly cinematic. And she put out a new album, Don't Trust Mirrors, in October last year. She's based in New York, and now she's coming to Aotearoa this June as part of Strange Universe Winter Edition, playing at Te Kahui St. David's, with support from Mote, which is a beautiful pairing, I think. That's happening on the 17th of June, and you can get tickets from banishedmusic.com. But we're going to listen to a kōrero that I had with Kelly, having a bit of a nerd out about prepared piano and some of her wonderful music, and also what you can expect from the show this June. Your music, for anyone who's of our listeners who sort of isn't acquainted, it's a really beautiful mix of like classical compositions and electronica. I do want to talk about the prepared piano, and for anyone who's not like in the know of what that is, what it is, and how you arrived at the prepared piano.
Yeah, so prepared piano is basically a term for an extended piano technique that was created by the composer John Cage. And it basically involves putting different materials inside of a piano to change the timbre of the sound. Mm. A lot of times this involves metal screws and bolts that you'll insert between the strings of the instrument. And pianos, for most of the keys, have three strings. So you put the preparation between two of them. And so it affects the sound, but then you also have the sound of the note of the other string in some ways. So it changes the sound in some ways, but you also like hear part of it in another way. So it's just a way to kind of treat the sound and transform it. And depending on the material you choose, it brings out a different character.
I'm imagining that you grew up playing a lot of classical music. And was this, you know, when you drifted towards prepared piano and sort of more sound art stuff, as well as the electronic sort of influences, was that sort of your like act of rebellion against classical music, or like how did we arrive here, you know?
A little bit. It felt like, I feel like it was both. It was very organic, but then it also did feel like a fun little rebellion in some ways. But it wouldn't have felt like a rebellion if I didn't have to actually like fight to be able to do it in college. So it was, it kind of was both of those things. Like, I grew up playing the piano, so I was like a classically trained pianist. But then like when I was like a teenager, I was playing in rock bands and getting into recording. And so after I started, you know, getting into recording, naturally that kind of led me towards like electronic music and using different production styles to incorporate with whatever acoustic instruments you're recording. Mm. So it just felt like a very natural extension of what I was doing at the time. Like, oh, I'm recording for a piano, like let's find all these different ways that I can like mess with the sound of a piano, like in a recording, like whether I combine different electronic sounds with it or I bend the sound of the instrument in some way. Like that was just a very natural exploration for me. When I went to college, I didn't want to be like a concert pianist. You know, I knew that wasn't my strength. So I wanted to start kind of learning the repertoire of this instrument, you know, because John Cage invented the prepared piano and wrote all these pieces. And there's, you know, a few other composers that have written for it. But none of the piano teachers at my college taught modern music, and they didn't think that I should be getting credit to study that kind of music. It was very old school back then when I was studying it, so it did kind of feel like a rebellion. Like, I couldn't actually play this music in the music school. I had to go to the dance school because they allowed you to prepare the piano, but the music school didn't.
Wow. That's so interesting. Yeah, I was talking to a friend before this interview about how you talk to like classical and orchestra kids, and it feels as though there's sort of like a fork in the road of like, you either rebel and you play jazz, or you rebel and you do like crazy sound art, like left field electronic music. So it's so cool to hear a little bit about how the journey of how you got there. And I'm guessing that, you know, a lot of people saying, no, you can't do that, or you can't study that, adds a bit of fuel to the fire of wanting to experiment more.
When I was a junior in college, my piano teacher was so like kind of old school. And I remember I played a Philip Glass piece for him. And when I was done playing it, he was just like, well, I don't know what to say. Like, you just played a bunch of arpeggios and you're playing them correctly. But aside from that, I have no comment.
Damn.
And it was just so frustrating because it's like, okay, like, can't you give me any expressive or dynamic like feedback? Like, surely you can see like something. So seeing that people were so like resistant and closed-minded to it definitely made me feel like, oh, like I need to like do this even more.
And then, you know, like jumping forward to now, you've been releasing albums and releasing music for what, over 10 years, 15 years now?
Just the other day I went on Facebook and I got a notification that it was 16 years since my like senior recital in college. And at my senior recital, I played pieces by John Cage, and I also played pieces that were on the first album that I ever put out, which I put out that year by my, like, I self-released an album in 2010. And so I got this reminder this year that, like, oh my God, it was 16 years ago that, like, I first started, like, that I, like, took this step, you know, and, like, put out my first album and, like, did my recital of all this music. Like, it was just, I couldn't believe it. I said to my mom, like, I could have theoretically like had a kid, and that's like a teenager by now, like that, you know, all so much time has passed. But yeah, so I guess it's nice that I'm still doing it.
Yeah, you've got like multiple children in the form of albums, which is so kind of way better than having kids, if you ask me.
Oh my gosh, yes, they are my children for sure.
Yeah, let's talk about the most recent one, Don't Trust Mirrors. Why shouldn't we trust mirrors, first of all?
I think you have to see things from a lot of perspectives to see something fully. A lot of these songs exist as like double version. Well, they all have two versions. Like, they all have like a piano version. They all have an electronic version. So for me, it was like they have like a mirror image. Obviously not exact, identical, because they're different versions. But I like the idea of works being able to exist like in different forms and mean different things.
And then, you know, playing the album live, does that feel like its own version of it as well?
A little bit, because these days when I play it live, some of the versions I play are from the previous record, Moves in the Field. Because those albums are kind of like mirror images of each other. Like, Don't Trust Mirrors has like the electronic versions of a lot of those compositions. And Moves in the Field has like all these piano iterations of the melodies. They're not like complete carbon copies of each other, but like thematically they have a lot of overlap. So when I play them live, I play a mixture of them. And so it kind of feels like both of them complete each other. A lot of the times if I go to a space and I feel like something, like one element is not working, I will kind of change things spontaneously. Like sometimes if I go to spaces and it feels too intimate for like really loud electronics, I'll kind of maybe turn them down or just do without them and do a set that's entirely acoustic piano. Because my music has these different arrangements that it exists in that I can often adapt it for the space if something doesn't feel right or if I feel like something's not working.
That's a beautiful thing, to be able to adapt your set to the space and sort of serve the environment that you're in best.
Yeah, well, on my right now, my ideal way of performing is I start out with doing, you know, grand piano with electronics, and then I gradually transition to just solo piano by the end of the set. And I like being able to have a mix of both of these things because it, like you kind of mentioned earlier, it shows both sides of my personality and like everything that I like to do with the instrument.
Well, I don't know about you, dear listener, but I know where I'm going to be on June 17th. I'm going to be at Kahui St. David's, probably like levitating or something.
Yeah.
The Kelly Moran set with a beautiful opening set from Motte as part of Strange Universe Winter Edition. I want to say a big ngā mihi nui kia koe Kelly Moran for joining me for a kōrero. Of course, you can listen to Kelly's most recent album, Don't Trust Mirrors, on Bandcamp. It was released via Warp, but you can find it on her Bandcamp page. That came out in October last year, and you can get tickets for the show on the 17th of June from banishmusic.com. It's going to be really special. I wouldn't miss it. Alrighty, you're on BFM. We're going to be right back after this.